attend the funeral of the father of another colleague and carved a very small and very unseasonable patch of white in his spine and went head first into a tree on the side of the highway. The driver of the car, who was my dad's close friend and a very good colleague, was killed instantly. Another passenger who was sitting in the back seat was tossed around just a little bit. My dad was kind of somewhere in the middle, experiencing a traumatic brain injury, cuts, and broken ribs. He was hospitalized for nearly a month and then convalesced for some weeks more than that. And there are many trajectories to that story, but this morning I remember the prayers that were raised for him and for us, all across the denominational family. Even decades later, as we were cleaning out boxes of his papers, I discovered card after card and letter after letter with prayers for my dad. Nearly 27 years ago, it's hard to believe, her son Kenneth decided to arrive early, some 8 weeks early. Again, there are many trajectories to that story, and those of you who met him in June know that he turned out pretty well, if I do say so myself. But 8 weeks in the neonatal intensive care unit were challenging for him, we presume, certainly for us. And again, what we knew is that people across the church, across the country, were praying for him. Praying for us, and we still have many of the cards and the letters. We even have a cassette tape. I don't know if you remember cassette tapes of a church service, people praying for him by name. Now, I know this is profound territory for any of us, ourselves, family, beloved ones, who have faced such hardships, and if we haven't, we will. And it is profound territory for many of us who have offered up prayers for those facing such hardships. You know how profound, how complex, how mysterious, how sacred this all can be. Now, my dad got better over the long haul. Our son grew and gained strength. He's even a marathon runner now. But some in such accidents don't get better. Some babies don't grow. Bad things do happen to people, good or otherwise, and it's difficult for me to think as one who believes fiercely in God, who prays for all sorts of things. It's difficult for me to think that anything about the quality of the prayers, the character of those who offer them, or, and this is the point, kind of that incessance, the God who hears them, has anything at all to do with an outcome, good or bad. And yet I believe in God, and I believe in prayer, and I believe that it matters. So we pray and worship. We have several kinds of prayers every Sunday morning. Actually, I learned this in seminary, ACTS, ACTS. Four kinds of prayers offered in Sunday worship. Adoration, that's the A, praising God simply for being God. Confession, sharing our sins and shortcomings with God. Thanksgiving, thanking God for every good gift in our life. And supplication, lifting up our deep concerns for others in the world. ACTS, ACTS, all four should be present in some way in worship each Sunday. Prayer and Mom once shared that there are really only two prayers. Please and thank you. That worked pretty well as well. Please and thank you. But in this moment, we're focused primarily on the S. Acts, the S, the last one, supplication. What we do is the old hymn says, take it to the Lord in prayer, whether for ourselves or for our loved ones. takes us in an unexpected direction and tells us perhaps as much about ourselves as it does about God. If you notice the first verse of Luke 18, we're told that the parable is about this, about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. By the way, that's never great advice to give to someone else who's experiencing hardship. Just keep praying, don't lose heart. That's what this parable is about, we're told. While we don't know exactly what's coming, this is hardly what we expect. We don't expect a widow who takes on an unjust judge, who persists with unflagging persistence until she changes the judge's mind and experiences justice. Now, since this is a parable, not a news story, we wonder so much and we're invited to wonder so much who was this judge. Frankly, what was his problem? And who was this woman, this unnamed widow, and what injustice had been done to her? What was the nature of the case itself? But mostly, I want to know why and how she persisted so passionately in the face of a man and in the face of a system that repeatedly said no to her. Because it's a parable, we're invited to extrapolate and interpret just a little bit, or at least I'm going to for a few moments. Although I do so with some trepidation, I know there are lawyers in the house this morning, I don't want to mess up legally, but that's okay. One extrapolation for me at least is about something called the Innocence Project and efforts like it. Lawyers working hard to free people, often men of color, from imprisonment. Using legal approaches and scientific techniques to overturn rulings that were delivered unjustly. They, like the woman, keep coming to the judge, seeking justice. She does that, and she keeps showing up day after day, persistently, nagging, as someone said this week, nagging unrelentingly until the judge finally changes his mind. Out of frustration, but perhaps we don't even something more than that. I will grant her justice, I said. He says, because I don't want her to wear me out. And you kind of think of those moments when we who have been parents finally relent face of a child's persistent nagging. But it's more than nagging. It's a witness. Many of Jesus' parables, as Austin suggested, equate the authority figure with God, whether it's a judge or a king or a rich landowner. This judge is mean and unjust and arbitrary. I'm not sure what we can learn about God from this judge here, but we can learn plenty about ourselves. My friend Jill Buffield, who is the editor of the Presbyterian Annual, writes that I marvel at the widows of the world, the women like that woman, who refuse to give up on justice no matter how often or how violently or how utterly injustice apparently wins. Says their persistence belies all logic. Their tenacity humbles people like me who've given up and faced with fewer and lesser odds. And just as this, her persistence humbled me. But her hope, her faith, they inspired me. Persistence cannot be uncoupled from a stalwart sense of purpose and hope that others may see it as irrational. So, is this a parable about prayer, as it says, or is it a parable about something else, something more, something deeper? We know the answer is yes to all of those things. Maybe Stamper writes that the parable of the widow's persistence foundation